You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There's something about the quiet hours of the night that leaves us vulnerable. Maybe it's the stillness, the way the shadows grow longer, or how the smallest noise can sound like a distant scream. Whatever the reason, those who've experienced the unexplainable will tell you it's not your imagination. Tonight's story takes us to the outskirts of a small town where a young woman named Lila spent her teenage years in a creaky old farmhouse. At first, the house seemed perfectly normal, but Lila soon found herself waking up to things she couldn't explain. Fleeting shadows, eerie whispers, and a presence that felt far too real to dismiss. And then, there was the gum. A small, strange clue that something wasn't right. Is it possible to encounter something not of this world? Could her mind have conjured a nightmare so vivid it left physical evidence? Or was she the target of something more sinister, something watching, waiting, and choosing its moment to make contact? Let's get to the letter. She writes, "Hi, Tony. I'm not really sure where to begin with this story. It's something that happened to me when I was 16, and even now, more than a decade later, I can't shake the memory. I've shared it with a few close friends over the years, but no one seems to believe me. Maybe you will. It started when my family moved into an old farmhouse just outside of a small town in the Midwest. The house was beautiful. Tall windows, creaky wooden floors, and surrounded by fields of tall grass that stretched as far as you could see. My parents loved it. They said it was peaceful. I always thought it felt a little too quiet. You know that kind of silence where it feels like someone's watching? That's the only way I can describe it. At first, it was just small things. I'd wake up in the morning to find my bedroom door slightly open, even though I always closed it before bed. Objects on my dresser would be moved. Nothing dramatic, just little shifts I couldn't explain. My parents said it was probably the wind, but how does the wind move a hairbrush from one side of the table to the other? The weirdest part was our dog, Max. He was a big, friendly mutt, afraid of nothing, except my bedroom. He would stand at the doorway, growling softly, but no matter how much I coaxed him, he wouldn't come inside. I tried to ignore it. I was a teenager, and between school, friends, and everything else, I didn't have time to dwell on a few strange incidents. But then the dreams started. They were so vivid, Tony. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, drenched in sweat, convinced that someone had been in my room. In the dream, I'd see a figure, a shadowy man with glowing white eyes, standing in the corner just watching me. I'd try to move, but I couldn't. I felt completely paralyzed. The worst night came after a particularly exhausting day of semester exams. I collapsed into bed, too tired to even think about the strange things that had been happening. Sometime in the middle of the night, I woke up to a strange sensation. My bed was moving, just a little, like someone was sitting on it, shifting their weight. I opened my eyes, and there he was, the figure from my dreams. Only this time, he wasn't standing in the corner. He was right there, on top of me. He wasn't like any person I'd ever seen. His skin was jet black, not just dark, but the kind of black that seemed to absorb the light. His eyes were the only features I could make out, and they were glowing faintly, like embers. I should have screamed, fought something, but I couldn't move. I wasn't scared exactly, just confused. It was like my mind couldn't fully process what was happening. What struck me most was his touch. His hands were on my hips, holding me firmly, almost like I was stuck to them. His skin felt strange, smooth in one direction, but rough the other way, like a cat's tongue. I remember thinking, this has to be a dream. But it felt so real. I could feel the weight of him, the coolness of his skin, even the faint pressure of his breath against my face. It lasted for maybe 30 seconds, maybe a minute. I don't know. And then I blacked out. When I woke up, the room was still. My pants, which had been pulled down in the dream, were back in place. The window, which had been open, was closed again. For a moment, I almost convinced myself it hadn't happened. But then I stood up, and that's when I noticed the gum. It was stuck to the inside of my waistband, right on my hip bone. A piece of red, fruity gum. We didn't even have gum like that in the house. My family only chewed mint flavors, and I was certain it wasn't mine. I checked my bed for the piece I'd fallen asleep chewing, and sure enough, it was still stuck to my back teeth. So where had this gum come from? And then there was the soreness. My lower abdomen ached like I'd done 100 sit-ups in my sleep. There wasn't any visible bruising or blood, nothing to suggest I'd been hurt. But the soreness stayed with me for days. I couldn't explain it. I didn't want to explain it. For weeks after that night, I slept with the light on. The figure didn't appear again, but I still felt like I was being watched. The room always seemed colder than the rest of the house, no matter how high we turned up the heat. I started avoiding my bedroom altogether, staying in the living room until I was too exhausted to keep my eyes open. Tony, I wish I could tell you that things got better after that night. They didn't. Whatever was in that house wasn't done with me yet. About a week after the encounter with the figure, I started hearing whispers. They weren't loud, just faint murmurs I couldn't quite make out. At first, I thought it was the wind or maybe the creaking of the old house, but these whispers had a rhythm to them. It was like someone was speaking just softly enough to stay out of reach. They always seemed to come from the darkest corners of the room, where the shadows pooled and refused to move. One night, as I was brushing my teeth, I caught something in the mirror. A flicker of movement behind me. I spun around, expecting to see my younger brother trying to scare me, but there was nothing there, just the empty hallway. Still, I couldn't shake the feeling that someone or something had been watching me. The next big incident happened about 2 weeks later. By this point, I had convinced myself that maybe I was just stressed out from school and my imagination was running wild. But then it happened again. I woke up in the middle of the night to find my bed shaking. Not violently, but enough to make me sit up in a panic. The figure wasn't on top of me this time, but it was there, standing in the corner of the room. It didn't move or speak. It just stood there, staring at me with those glowing eyes. I wanted to scream, but my voice wouldn't work. It felt like the air had been sucked out of the room. And then, just as suddenly as it had appeared, it was gone. The room felt lighter, like whatever had been pressing down on me had finally lifted. But the relief didn't last long. The next morning, I found something new, a mark on my hip, right where the figure had touched me during the first encounter. It wasn't a bruise, exactly. It looked more like a faint symbol, almost like a burn that didn't hurt. At this point, I knew I couldn't ignore what was happening. I started digging into the house's history, asking around town and spending hours at the library. That's when I learned about the previous owner, a man named Harold Ashby. According to the records, Harold had lived there alone for decades and was rumored to have been involved in some sort of occult practice. People in town said he used to hold strange gatherings late at night with chanting and strange symbols drawn in the dirt around the house. No one knew exactly what he'd been trying to summon, but one day, Harold just vanished. They found his car at the edge of the property, keys still in the ignition, but no trace of him anywhere. That's when I found the diary. It was hidden in the attic, tucked inside a loose floorboard. Most of the entries were mundane, notes about the weather, his crops, and the occasional grumbling about the town gossip, but toward the end, his writing changed. It became frantic, almost illegible. He wrote about a presence he had invited into the house, something he called the companion. He described it as a shadow that could take form, a being that existed between worlds. The last entry read, "It watches me even now. I hear it whispering. It knows my name." After finding the diary, I was terrified to sleep in my room. I begged my parents to let me sleep on the couch, but they didn't understand. They thought I was being dramatic, so I decided to take matters into my own hands. I remembered reading somewhere that burning sage could cleanse a space of negative energy. I didn't know if it would work, but I was desperate. That night, I lit the sage and walked through every room in the house, reciting a prayer I'd found online. When I reached my bedroom, the air felt heavy, like walking through water. As I waved the sage around the room, I heard it, the whispering. It was louder this time, more insistent, but still impossible to understand. I kept going, even though my hands were shaking. And then, just as quickly as it had started, it stopped. The air felt lighter, almost normal. For a while, things seemed to go back to normal. The house was quiet again. I stopped seeing the figure, stopped hearing the whispers. But I couldn't shake the feeling that it was still there, lurking just out of sight. I kept the mark on my hip hidden, afraid of what people might say if they saw it. Over time, it faded, but the memory hasn't. Tony, I still don't know what really happened in that house. Was it just a series of vivid dreams, some kind of psychological breakdown? Or was there truly something in that house? Something Harold Ashby brought into this world that never left. I'll never know for sure. All I know is that I still wake up some nights expecting to see those glowing eyes watching me from the corner of the room. What do you think, Tony? Was it all in my head, or did I really meet something from another realm? There's a chill in this story that lingers, like the air in a room after a door has been slammed shut. What Lila experienced seems to straddle the line between the psychological and the paranormal, a line that once crossed can leave someone questioning their reality for the rest of their life. Let's unpack this. On one hand, the human brain is capable of astonishing things, especially under stress. Sleep paralysis, for example, can produce vivid hallucinations of shadowy figures, the sensation of being held down, and even physical symptoms like soreness. It's a condition rooted in science, but often described in ways that feel anything but natural. Could Lila's experiences have been a manifestation of this phenomenon, compounded by the stress of exams in a new environment? Possibly. But then there's the other side of the coin. The physical evidence, gum that wasn't hers, a symbol-like mark on her hip, and the shared experiences of her family noticing disturbances suggests something more tangible was at play. The whispers, the figure, the oppressive presence, it all points to a classic haunting. And what about Harold Ashby, the man who lived in the farmhouse before her? His diary suggests that he believed he had invited something into the home. Was this companion a figment of his imagination, or had he truly summoned a being that existed between worlds? The thing about stories like Lila's is that they don't offer neat answers. The rational mind wants to explain away every detail, while the primal part of us can't help but shiver at the possibilities. If Harold's ritual did open a door to another realm, it's possible that whatever stepped through wasn't ready to leave. Or perhaps it chose not to. The mark on her hip is particularly compelling. Symbolic markings have often been associated with spiritual or paranormal encounters, as if these entities leave behind a signature to remind you they were there. But why Lila? Was she simply in the wrong place at the wrong time, or was there something about her that drew this presence to her? Ultimately, what Lila experienced might never be fully understood. But maybe that's the point. Stories like hers remind us that there's still mystery in the world. Things we can't explain, things that challenge our understanding of reality. Whether it was psychological or paranormal, one thing is certain. Lila's story is one that will stay with us. And now I'll leave you with this question. If you were in Lila's shoes, lying awake in the dark, would you be able to convince yourself it was all just a dream? Or would you start to wonder what's waiting in the shadows, watching, biding its time? Something to think about as you drift off tonight. Sleep tight.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.